All right, okay. Turn to the fifth gospel, Isaiah chapter 50, the fifth gospel. Oh, I forgot. It is still Easter. Church, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Do I dare ask y'all why this is still the Easter season? It's 7 weeks of Easter. Does anybody want to get a gold star and answer that question? Jacob, do you know the answer to why we're still in Easter? Oh, no. Okay. Anybody want to answer that? Why is it still Easter? Okay. Greta. 50 days after the resurrection. There you go. And the ascension, yep. And then after the ascension, there was 50 more days for Pentecost. Greta Draham gets a gold star. So we got to go get one so we can give you one. Okay, all right. You're still wicked? Okay. See, all of these things matter to our faith. For you to know and understand, it matters. He is risen. Amen. Let's get after it. Now let's get to the Word. Isaiah 50, 1 through 11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then chop it up. Lord, thank you for this day. And though we have many that are missing today because they are serving and loving and ministering to their families, Lord, we are grateful for the mothers that are here this morning. We thank you for the gift of motherhood and for the broken hearts, for the tears that mothers have cried over their children and grandchildren on their knees, begging you, Lord, to do a work of mercy and grace in their children's lives. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Lord, we ask that you would put forth your spirit and do the work that only you can do. Grant repentance, Lord. Help us to see the sin in our lives and to repent of it. Lord, help us to love you most. Help us to grow in our faith. Lord, help us to know you better and to understand who you are so that we can worship you more completely. Thank you for this morning and for your word and for your spirit. Lord, for the one who preaches, he is a frail creature of dust, slow in tongue and mind. Lord, we pray that we would see you and you only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 50. We got through three verses last week, 1 through 3. And so we're going to finish up 4 through 11. And then we are speeding to the end of Isaiah. It's like Mach 9 with our hair on fire. We only have 16 more chapters through this great book. And I went back after Greta made the joke that we are... A herd of turtles through Isaiah. I went and looked when we started Isaiah, and it was in June of 20. So it's only taken us about 2 years to get here. June 28th. So we are flying. Only 2 years to get to this point. All right. So the title, if you have the outline, it, Glimpses of the Cross. This is the third of the servant song. The last one is the most famous of the servant songs, which you should know automatically because you've heard me talk about it for 50 chapters, 2 years in Isaiah, is Isaiah 53, the most famous of all, but maybe possibly the best, most well-known chapter in Isaiah. But this one, there's four of them, and this one is the third one that we are looking at. And the chapter, the emphasis in chapter 50 is really quite simple, and we spent a lot of time developing it last week. The theme is listening to your father, or to our father. And we started out, and I shared with you, and we came to the point, so for our visitors here, you need to understand that even though when you listen, we are not good listeners to our Heavenly Father. We do what we want to do. And so this is for us. And Isaiah is preaching not to the world. He's preaching to God's people. He's preaching to the church, to the visible church. And it was interesting. We even heard Gershner say a couple of weeks ago, calling the Old Testament church. And I was like, man, we need to get this concept. And so Isaiah is speaking to God's people, and he's calling them out and saying, listen, you're not listening. You're not hearing your father. You are not paying attention. Even though you think you are, you're not doing this. And so he's not talking to the world. He's talking to his people, and he's being a very good father. He is explaining the reasons for why he is going to punish them very clearly and what's going to happen. You know, the picture in that we need to really understand, and you need to get, because this affects you and I today, is this. When Isaiah is proclaiming this to his people, to God's people, you need to understand that the Assyrians, as you know, we've gone through all of this. The Assyrians have come down. They have wiped through the northern kingdom, Israel. Just plowed it under. They come into Judah and just captured, destroyed all the cities in Judah. They surrounded Israel. And then the story that everybody knows in Scripture, the angel came and killed 180 overnight, 180,000 Assyrian men encamped around Jerusalem overnight, like that. But they had already done, they had already taken the whole Israel and Judah, but they didn't take Jerusalem. So they packed up and took off, the ones that remain. Judah, or Hezekiah, Jerusalem was saved, and all of that wealth and money that he tried to pay the Egyptians, and they took his money and run. He tried to pay other people, and they took his... He recouped all that in one night. Then Hezekiah bragged about what all that, and God stricken him. He begged God for 15 more years, and God spared his life. And so we're past all of that, and they're on the other side. So Isaiah's telling them, you guys aren't listening. You think you're following the Lord. You think you're doing this, and you're not. You're still following yourself. You're still following your own passions, your own flesh, your own desires. You're still wanting the world. You're still going after everything else but me. and God is going to punish you for this. And so he's saying to them, he's going to bring another country in and he's going to destroy the temple. Now, this is what you need to get. That there were some here that were listening that blew it off and said, nah, that's not going to happen. I'm going to keep living life like I want to live. And there were some that really, I think, that were really listening to Isaiah going, this is a man, this is the prophet of God, which, as you know, as you've been through this journey through 50 chapters, y'all, you know God's hand is on Isaiah. Everybody else there knew God's hand was on Isaiah. Believe me. And so there were some there that were like, he's telling us the truth. We better listen. And I'm fearful. But there was another group in the middle that I think believed him, but they, listen, the Assyrians, if you remember Daniel's dream of the statue, the great statue that he had do y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all are looking at me with glassy eyes. And as it goes, do you remember it started at the top? And it goes down to the bottom and got weaker. Listen, the Babylonians were not stronger than the Assyrians. God just called the Babylonians out to do this task. The Assyrians were wiping people off annihilating whole people groups. And when they came to Jerusalem, God stopped them with the angel of death overnight, in one night. In one night. And so these people are saying, Isaiah, I hear you, but we've lived through this. We've lived through all these trials, and God has stopped them every time. And you're now saying, really? After all of this, God is going to destroy the temple? Solomon's temple? He really? Like, it's like they believed him, but they really didn't believe him. Which I think, this is me, this is just my opinion, I think that is where the majority of conservative Christianity is today. They believe the word. They believe, but not really. God wouldn't really spank us. I love Jesus. He's not really going to do this. People, hear me. I'm not Isaiah. I'm not a prophet, nor a son of a prophet. But when we are killing babies and homosexuals are running our countries and nations, God is not going to stand for that. I'm just telling you. And he's going to turn us over to ourselves. That's why, I'm just not even going to bring up any names. That's why we have the leaders that we have. God has turned it. I mean, it's Romans chapter 1. It is happening, guys. And we are lulled to sleep. Do you know why? Can I tell you why? Because, man, our air conditioners work at the house. We have comfortable beds. Listen, I love my green chair. When I sit in my green chair and recline, I don't want people to talk to me. Because we've been lulled to sleep, when our flesh is comfortable, our souls decay. Do you hear me? I'm telling you the truth here. And so here we are, and I think that the majority of, and here words matter, conservative Christian church is in this middle group. They believe the word. They love Jesus. But is this really going to happen to us? God is going to correct us. He is not going to turn a blind eye. And you may say, well, I'm against abortion. I've told you this 1,000 times. If you look through all the examples of Scripture, God's never had a majority to work with. He's always worked with the remnant, the smallest amount. And God has changed world events through the smallest amount. He doesn't need a majority of voters to overturn anything. He can change hearts like that. And we can, I'm going to just use him as an example. We can get all upset about Biden all we want. Biden's not the enemy. Now, his actions are, we're against his actions. But Scripture says our enemies are principalities and powers, right? What if God changed his heart today? Today. What if that happened today? What if there's 4 judges on the Supreme Court, 4, that God changed 4 of their hearts that are against Roe versus Wade, that he changed their hearts today pro? Against abortion. Y'all know what I mean. He can do that without one vote casted, without one protest. So this is what I'm saying to you, so we understand. When we really get tired of what's happening and we get on our knees, your God will hear. But do you really believe that? Really, do you really believe that? So, this is what Isaiah is saying in chapter 50. This is what's happening. I'm not going to go through the first three verses, but it's very clear, it's talking to his children and the children going, what have you done? Why did you put mom away? And he's going, you're not listening. Where's mom? Did you give her a divorce? Are you leaving? Because they're looking around going, God, where are you? And he's saying, you're not getting it. I didn't put mom away. I haven't left. You left me. You broke up the family, not me. You did this. You're the one that destroyed the family. I didn't do this. I know where, and we went through and we talked about the glimpses of the garden, and so I'm not going to go through all that. But he's addressing his children and he's going, you guys didn't listen to me. You did what you wanted, and you've done this. And you can ask, Carrie's not here, but all the rest of my children are here. And I've shared this with you last week. I have told them since they were children, I love you. You are my children. I will do anything to help you and provide for you and protect you. I'll be skinned alive for you. But if you turn your back on God, you are turning your back on your father. If you walk down a line and you walk away from the Lord, your father's not going to follow you down that road. They're here. Ask them how many times they've heard me say that. That I am going to love the Lord, my God, with all of my strength and all of my might and all of my mind. And I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm not following them. Amen? Well, nobody's amen in that. But in America, do you know what we do? We follow our children. They're the idols. We do whatever it is. So here we are, and he's looking at them, and he's saying, listen, I didn't bust up the family. You did. And I'm not weak. It's not why you are going into captivity is not because I'm weak. I'm the one doing it. I hold all things in my hand. And if I wanted to turn everything, the stars and the moon and the sun, dark, I can do that. You're not going into captivity because I was too weak to stop it. You're going into captivity and punishment because of your sins. Now listen, he's talking to his people. Y'all remember? Don't forget that. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to you. Are you hearing him? All right, now let's get all of that to get to verse 4. Oh, I can do this in 30 minutes. Verse 4. We're at 4 through 9 is one, and then I'm going to close with 10 and 11. So this is how he's going to deal with his children. So the first three, they're having this meeting, and I told y'all, I shared with y'all about how Beth and I really worked hard at not disciplining our children in front of other people, and how we would work with them and take them into a room and even in front of our other kids and privately discuss things and talk about and have whippings, which now you can get arrested in America for talking about whipping your children. So if I get arrested, I want a solitary confinement cell. Okay. All right. So Kate was so little that she didn't know what was going on. And we would go into the room and we would be talking and praying and crying, a lot of crying. And when we would come out, she would go, when am I going to get a turn? She didn't understand what was happening in there. But it was because we were dealing with this, and there were times, listen, there were a lot of whippings on Sunday where I would look at them and I'd go, man, we're dealing with this when we get home. And so, with all this said, this is what's happening. And so he's saying, okay, this is how we're in this meeting. He's with his children. He's saying, this is how I'm going to deal with it. Jesus saying, this is how it's going to happen. In verses 4 and 5, it says this. I almost read 51. Okay, 4 and 5 of verse 50 says this. The Lord God has given me, this is Jesus talking about himself, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary, and awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. So this is the first part of how he's going to deal with the rebellion of his children. The first point is truth applied. In verse 4 and 5, he's applying the truth that God has given him. In these verses, we see Christ is speaking in first person. He's talking about himself, and he's revealing the source of his knowledge of what he knows, and the source of what he's teaching to other people. And what he's saying is, God has given me this. My Heavenly Father has given me this to give to you. I want to turn to one example. And I want everybody to turn to this. It's an example that you know, but I want to explain a little bit here. In Matthew chapter 7. I was in Mark 7. I was like, it's not here. Matthew 7. We're going to start in verse 21. But this is the very end. I want to see everybody's face. This is how Jesus closed the greatest sermon that has ever been preached in the world, the Sermon on the Mount, which he starts back in chapter 5, okay, is where the sermon starts, if you want to go back and read the whole sermon. And then he ends at the very, what we're about to read is his conclusion of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And this is what he says, all right? This is how the Lord closes his sermons. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Do y'all hear that? He's saying, it doesn't matter if you say Lord or Jesus or I believe in Jesus or whatever. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. All right, let's keep reading. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, meaning the day that they have to face judgment. Lord, Lord, have not I prophesied in your name? I've told people about you. And have I cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And when I will then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Mothers, love Jesus most. Number one, right? That's your rock. Not your children, not your husband, not your work, not your friends. Jesus. All right, that's your other Mother's Day message. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. That's how he ends the Sermon on the Mount. Let's read 28 and 29. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So in this passage that we're looking at, in verse 4 and 5, Jesus is saying here, listen, he's given me these words. He's the one. He's given me a learned tongue. He's showing me, giving me the words to speak. He, a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear and to learn. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I didn't rebel, nor did I turn away. He didn't say, Lord, I can't say that. It might hurt somebody's feelings. Jesus goes even further in applying this truth, and he's telling us, and there's a little glimpse here for you and I to see and learn. He's telling us and telling them, Isaiah the prophet speaking to his people, and he's telling us today, Jesus is saying, listen, every morning the Father gives me words. The Father awakens me. And he pours words of instructions into my ears. I want to read one other verse. I want you to see this. Turn to Mark. This is, and write it down. Look at it. Go back and think about it. Mark 1:35. Everybody turn there. I want you to see. Very simple verse. Mark 1:35. You ready? I still see some pages turning. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Amen. Isn't that what Isaiah is saying right here? Jesus is speaking it in first person, and he's saying, listen, he's given me words. He's given me a learned tongue. I know how to speak the truth of God to these people. And this is when he gives it to me. Early in the morning, he awakens me, and he pours his word into me. Christians, I'm going to tell you this, and you know this. You can pray, and please do, all day long. Amen? Go to the Word. I mean, pray all the time. If you're conscious, and you're up, conscious, and you're awake, pray, right? But you and I need special times alone. Hear your pastor. Get up out of bed. Get up and go to the Lord. Go listen to His Word. Talk to the Lord. Spend time with Him. You will be amazed at what the things that will change in your life. I'm going to give you another verse, but you look it up later. John 12. It was the night before, or right before, the day before, when they went into the upper room, right before his death. Before our Lord, but it's right before the day before he washed his disciples' feet. And in John 12:49, he talks about that I only speak what God gives me. You know what? I don't care about the time. John 12:49. I'm gonna read it to you real quick. It says this, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So we see the truth is applied. Now in verse 6, the sacrifice is applied. The sacrifice is applied in verse 6. It says, lift up your eyes to heaven and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Y'all are thinking, where is he reading? That's in Isaiah 51. Verse 6 and 50. I give my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. So, the suffering, the truth is applied. Now the suffering is applied. Jesus willingly offered his body to his tormentors. That's what this verse is saying. He's willingly offered. He's the Lamb of God, willing to walk to the slaughter. Read the accounts. Guys, we just got through this. I went through a whole chronological account of what happened during the resurrection of Christ. He was beaten. He gave himself up. He said, yep, it is what you say. He didn't bat an eye. He didn't blink. He didn't fudge. He did what... And they beat him, and they spit upon him, and they pulled out his beard, and they hung him on a cross. And this is what this is saying. I gave them my back. Do you remember what he said to Pilate? You have no authority that my God hasn't given you. Do you remember that? And look at what this is saying. I gave them my back. Who struck me? And my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. You guys should see some of the verses about them spitting on our Lord. The suffering was applied. So we see the truth that Jesus applied came from God, and the suffering that Jesus applied came from his Father also. It wasn't the mean Roman soldiers. Jesus gave himself to his Father for punishment. And then the confidence applied. You may go, what? I'm about to tie it up and we're about to get out of here. We're going to land this plane. Hallelujah. 7, 8, 9. The confidence that Jesus is saying, my Father is doing this. He's going to take care of this. Look at this. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Amen? Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know what I will not, that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like garments, and the moth will eat them up. The confidence. Jesus is saying here, he's just sitting and he's saying, listen, God is going to take care of this. If you look in Romans chapter 8, Paul interprets these very verses for us. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Paul uses these verses in Romans chapter 8. In 8, 33 and 34. Verses you know. But this is where Paul gets this. Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit is interpreting the 7, 8, and 9 for us. Listen to this. Romans 8, 33 and 34. Who shall bring charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, it is also he who has risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for who? So Paul is taking and interpreting Isaiah 57, 8, and 9 right here and saying this is what this is all about. Listen, I hate to say, if you don't hear anything else, hear this, but because I want you to hear everything. It's so important. But what did, in Christ, when he gave himself to his tormentors, what was, okay, I'm trying to say this. I'll just say it like this. Christ was not fearful of Satan. He was not fearful of demons and demonic attack. He was not fearful about what was happening. Do you know what broke his heart? God pouring his wrath, his Father pouring his wrath upon him for us. Him taking the beatings, the punishment for you and I. Christian, do you understand? I'm going to tell you something, and if you don't understand this, I want to make sure I want you to talk to me. Okay? I need you to understand this. I'm about to tell you something that I don't think you really get. I hope you do, and you just aren't applying it, which I don't understand that you, if you're not applying it. But here it is. Christian, you need to realize that Satan, demons, attacks from the evil one, that Satan cannot judge you or condemn you. That if you are truly a believer, you have been bought with the blood. All Satan can do to you is accuse you or tempt you. Now, he can tempt you and your flesh will buy into it and follow. You'll fall away. And that's on you. Amen? He cannot condemn you. He cannot judge you. Satan has no power that God hasn't given him. He is a devil on a leash. Nothing can touch you that does not pass through nailed, scarred hands. Get your theology right. Say it's not Chronicles of Narnia. It's not the White Witch and Aslan that are fighting back and forth. It's not that. Satan is our adversary. He's not God's. Amen? He is above. God is above. He is in control. There's not a single molecule in all of the universe that God is not in control of. Philip, tell me how that helped when you sat in the hospital with your son. You guys need to. Satan cannot condemn you or judge you. He's not your judge. Amen. So what can he do to you? Only that which God allows. And let me ask you this. We started this last week. Why would God allow you to be corrected like that? Because he's a good dad. Amen. Guys, this, if you get a hold of this truth and really wrap your heart and mind around it, it will radically change your life. Your God is a sovereign God. He holds all things in His hands. He is sovereign, holy, perfect. Do you believe He's perfect? Do you believe that? Then when He brings things in your life, even when they hurt like crazy, there's a reason, right? Right? Confidence applied. So we see Jesus, the truth, He's applying the truth and He's saying, listen, I'm telling you, this is where my source is. The suffering, He applies the punishment. He's saying, I'm taking it. I'm doing this. And now He's saying, and I know the Lord is going to redeem me. And lastly, and then we're done. And this is so quick. There's a fork in the road. There's a fork in the road. And now remember who Isaiah's preaching to, the church. He's not preaching to everybody outside. He's not preaching to people who are living their lives and don't give a rip about what the Bible says. And there's plenty of them, and they're nice people, and some of them I really love. People who don't care what Scripture says. They don't care what God says. And they're just going on their happily going on their life. That's not who God is who Isaiah's talking to here. He's talking to the church. To people who are at least professing faith. Not just like we read in Matthew, not that even though you profess faith means that you are a believer. There's a fork in the road, verse 10 and 11. This is what it says. Read it with me. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of His servant, which is Jesus? Just so you know. Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. And rely upon His God. Verse 11. Look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light. Look at it. Walk in the light of your fire, and in the spark you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. This is it. Those who are following their own advice and their own light and their own sparks, this is what He's saying. The Lord's saying, I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. You shall lie down in torment. Those who are trusting in their own light, those who are trusting on their own strength and their own spark, that's what it says. Those who are doing and follow, well, I'm just doing what I think is right. Wow. Really? I'm just doing what I think is good. What I think is best for me. It may not be good for you, but it's what's right for me. How many times have you heard that? I'm telling you, Everybody in here, we have said that to ourselves. I'll be honest, and I've told y'all this, if it was up to Brandon Griffin, I wouldn't be a preacher. I wouldn't ever be up here. I don't really like people. Ask my family. I was driving to school one day, and Kate looked at me and said, "Daddy, why are you a preacher?" I was like, "Honey, I've been asking that question for a long time." And then it hit me. I was like, "Honey, I guess God needed a pastor to pastor Mr. Rodney and Gene and Sonny." And I went down a list of just rusty bolts. No, y'all are laughing. It's true. And do you know what Kate said? She went, "Hmm." Because somebody's got to pastor them and lead them. Right? I wish it was Amos. No, I'm just playing. So this is the fork in the road. Are you going to follow Jesus or are you going to follow you? That's it. Remember who he's talking to. The church. So this is talking to you. Are you going to follow you? Or are you going to follow Jesus? All right. We should recognize. This is it. I'm going to give you some points and you have them on your outline. We should recognize our tendency to wander and stray away from the Word of God. It's exactly what we were talking about in Sunday school today. We need to be aware that we stray. Number two, you should be in awe of Jesus suffering for us. The substitutionary death, Him dying for us, that should overwhelm us. Number three, you should remember to follow Him daily. People, New Hopers, I'm going to tell you this. You can go to a lot of other churches where they're not going to be mean to you, and they'll have a safe place and they'll have a nice pastor that is so loving. But this is the deal. Are you praying daily? For real? Are you reading the Word daily? Are you holding each other accountable and walking with each other? And last, point four. We need to recognize. Here, this is an important part. We need to recognize when we are being Spirit-led and when we are being led by our flesh. Because I'm telling you right now, we don't have good discernment over that. Do you hear me? I love y'all. Happy Mother's Day. Do you feel encouraged? I ran over. Good. All right. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. Hey, you mothers and grandmothers, you have the most important job in the world. There's ferns out there. Please, every mom, I don't care if you're a visitor, every mom, every grandmother, please pick one up. We love you guys. This is just a token. I wish we could give y'all the world. Y'all, you guys deserve it, but we got you a fern. Okay? I was going to sing the doxology. We're going to close in a benediction. But this is what I want to do. I want to pray for the moms here. As your pastor, I want to pray for you. And I want to ask God to help you. And listen, go home, spend time with your families. Be nice to your mom. Mom, I'm going to be nice to you today. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and your spirit. And Lord, we have so many that are out and missing, and they're with their families. And Lord, bless their time and their, as they're loving their families and being with them, bless their time. And Lord, I pray for the mothers here, the grandmothers, the great grandmothers, Lord, the aunts, the women here. God, please build a fire in their lives. Help them to love you most. Lord, help them to love you most, to love your truth. Lord, help them to put their husbands second and their children third. Lord, please help them to get these priorities right. Lord, fill them with your spirit. Help them to serve their families. Teach them, show them, give them discernment and wisdom on how to deal correctly and rightly with their children and with their husband, with their whole family. Give them wisdom to do this. Thank you for them. Build them up. Fill them with your spirit. Use them for gospel purposes, Lord, for generations to come. Until you tarry, Lord, until you come back, use these women for your honor, for your glory, for your gospel purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.